it's me, Kyle McLaughlin, back at it again with a new episode of the Boy Time Features. I don't know how we do the intro for this. It's a little different.
I don't remember how we did it last
time. I don't remember. I probably should have listened before pressing that record button, but frankly, we're too far gone, and I don't believe in doing second takes. So here we are on our second Boy Time feature. So you can probably tell by the title, it is about David Lynch's 1986 hit film, Blue Velvet. I forgot, I don't remember how we did this last time. But I guess we can.
There was no structure.
There was no structure last time. I feel
like
time.
It's going to be easier with a movie, though.
True. That is true. But I guess just right off the bat, what did you think about Blue Velvet? Because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, period. So, what'd you think?
I thought it was very good. It's weird saying I enjoy a David Lynch project because it's not really the feeling that it's evoked when you watch it. But I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's one of those things where you finish it and you're like, huh?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. He has this weird like thing around his stuff where it's like you don't really get it, but you kind of get it, but you don't. But it makes you think in different ways, and I enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I liked it a lot, too. This is probably maybe my second favorite David Lynch movie. I do like Fire Walk With Me quite a bit. That's probably my favorite. And then this one, and then probably The Straight Story, because that one's really good, but it's not even a David Lynch movie. It doesn't feel like a David Lynch movie anyways. But yeah, no, I liked it. I didn't really know what to expect going in. I knew a little bit about its reputation. This isn't even like a film bro movie. It's like an art bro movie where like pretentious art people will be like, oh, you're watching, I don't know, Boondock Saints. Oh, you should be watching high art like Blue Velvet. So that was pretty much all I knew going into it. But what I got, at least on the surface, is a pretty g-dang solid neo-noir movie with some weirdo David Lynch surrealism thrown in. Just a little bit, though. Not as much as I had gotten from...
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was going to be, like, completely off the rails, but it seemed to have, like, a very, like, solid structure.
Yeah, which I guess we can talk about a little bit where this movie lands in David Lynch's filmography, because it's in a very interesting spot. This is his fourth feature. It's kind of crazy that he just immediately hit the scene with Eraserhead, which is regarded as one of the best movies of all time by a lot of people. I'm not included in that, but it has that reputation. And then Elephant Man, and then he did Dune in 84, and then 2 years later followed it up with Blue Velvet. Which I think is, I don't know what you got from this, but to me, this feels like a huge, it's like a meta kind of thing where,
meta? Impossible.
A little bit. I don't know. I'm still kind of like thinking about it.
Yeah, me too. I'm still like,
because I haven't seen any videos or anything about this movie since I've seen it, which maybe is a mistake, but maybe not. That way I'm not just regurgitating
like getting
everything
the raw here. Thoughts out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I think what's interesting with this movie is that, and if you know anything about David Lynch, is that he loves his like small town Americana Midwest type vibes. I know Twin Peaks isn't set in the Midwest, but it feels like a Midwest town, even though it's set on the opposite side of the country. But like, that's a running thing in a lot of his projects, is that he loves small towns. He loves diners. He loves.
I'm gonna say that every single thing I've seen David Lynch do, there's always a diner.
Yes. Yeah. There's an episode of Red Letter Media where they do a trivia show where they're doing a David Lynch trivia. And one of the questions they asked was like, unlike the lightning fire round, they were like, name every single David Lynch diner you can. And they I don't even think they got halfway.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's like a running thing. But this movie is kind of interesting because it takes that love for American small towns and kind of flips it on its head, where the American small town isn't home. It's not comfy. Kyle MacLachlan's character arrives in this small town after being away for a while, and he starts uncovering this plot, this dark underbelly to this town that he once called home, which to me is this giant parallel for how David Lynch, like David Lynch's relationship with filmmaking. I think it's no coincidence that this is his follow-up to Dune, considering how public he was about how that was a nightmare and he hated every second of it. And probably the reason why he hasn't gone back to studio filmmaking since. I don't know what production company made this movie, but it's just like, I think that Kyle MacLachlan's character is kind of a David Lynch self-insert, where he's like uncovering this dark side to filmmaking, this artistic medium that has given him this outlet to explore these surrealist dreamscapes that he likes so much. But maybe that's coming at it too heady. I don't know.
I think that's pretty dead on, though. Because I think with me digging into Twin Peaks so heavily again last year, I think like a lot of the methods are still kind of the same in the way that he makes things.
Yeah.
Like he does a lot of self-inserts. He's very meta. He's also very to the point and literal at times.
Yeah.
But I think this film in particular, like, it's nice seeing him work with the film because I haven't really seen a lot of his like long form stuff. It's been Twin Peaks and the Twin Peaks film.
Sure.
But this, I feel like he was able to wrap things up in a very nice way. Like the kind of like double meanings and double entendres and repetitiveness of like certain things in this movie was like really, really, really cool. Like every time like a light would go out and go in, now it's dark or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you'd move to the next kind of phase of it. I don't know. Everything was like really, really cool. And I don't know. He plays in the mystery realm very well.
He does.
Which... You can take like a million different things from it, or you can take nothing from it. And I think both are correct.
Yeah. Because, yeah, on its surface, it's a pretty good neo-noir movie. I mean, like, mm-hmm. the mystery itself was pretty interesting. I think all of the characters were fun to watch. Now, I don't know. Let's not go on reception quite yet, because I don't think that's important right now. But I guess we can talk a little bit about that there's like all of David Lynch mainstays are in here pretty much. I mean, this is the second time he was working with Kyle MacLachlan, who would obviously be in all the Twin Peaks stuff. I think this is the first time he was working with Laura Dern, who again was in, I think she was in Lost Highway, and she, well, at the very least she was in the third season of Twin Peaks as Diane. Or clone Diane.
Pretty big role.
Yeah, I don't...
Tulpa
Diane, yeah. And then, of course, we got... what's his name? Jack Nance, who's Pete in Twin Peaks. The fish man?
Yes.
Yes. Who is...
He was my favorite character.
He
says, I'm Paul.
Yeah, that was great. I was just saying that over and over again. And he looks just like Pete in this, which, I mean, yeah, Twin Peaks was made. That was his next thing after this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Which makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does. I feel like a lot of Twin Peaks. I felt a lot of Twin Peaks in this movie.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, Jack Nance was in Eraserhead as the main guy in Eraserhead. I don't know if he was in Elephant Man because I haven't seen that one. Maybe we'll get to it later.
Yeah, we probably will.
Because that's probably his like second like masterpiece considered by a lot of people, or at least the maybe the entry level David Lynch fans would. They like maybe Twin Peaks and Elephant Man. Eraserhead's like one layer deeper, I think, because it's loud and it hurts my ears. Maybe that's too specific, but yeah. Let me see what else. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Blue Velvet? Any other subjects?
I don't know. I like the score a lot. Oh, I feel like that shouldn't be a surprise.
No.
Got Angelo in there again, because why not? He's a master at these things. I think the play with like music in this movie too was like really fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know he did this with season 3 a lot, and it's something that I like didn't like the first time I saw season 3 of Twin Peaks, but the second time I watched it, I'm like, the music selection and the roadhouse scenes at the end of it are so crucial, because like you can take the songs quite literally and it'll explain so much stuff for you. So knowing that, listening to the lyrics of the songs being said in the movie, were like, I was like, okay, this helps me a lot. Mm-hmm. And even like the ending with like the you get like the Red Robins or whatever, and it's like that's when the good times come. It fades and you get this one line from the Blue Velvet song to like kind of bring it back down and make you question if it's like actually a good ending or not. Mm-hmm. I think all those subtle things he's really good at. That and the lighting in this movie is so good. I love like the fluorescent blues and reds and the contrast between them, the red apartment with the blue velvet dress and everything. That kind of stuff is just really nice.
Yeah. I was getting a lot of like Red Room vibes from Twin Peaks and that.
He loves his curtains.
He does. That I didn't even notice that those opening credits were curtains until they came back and like the closing. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. But on a technical level, this movie's great. I wouldn't say it's like his best, but I think it's pretty good. But that it's hard to talk about his stuff, especially since I haven't seen all of them. But I thought that this was pretty g-dang good. I guess we can talk a little bit about because I think a lot of critics did not like this movie when it came out. I think just people in general didn't like it when it came out. I mean, it, you know, mid-80s, we're in the middle of like...
It's striking.
Yeah. Well, like, even just culturally, America was in this like kind of conservative boom. And here we have a movie where everybody's naked. You do get to see Kyle MacLachlan's dong, which is nice.
That was the best part. I think we both cheered.
It's just a little bit, but
See it. I'm like,
oh, there it is. But I think, I remember, I've heard a clip from Roger Ebert on his show when he was reviewing this movie, and he was like, Isabella Rossellini, Lynch has her do things that non-porno actresses have never done on camera before. Like, well, I don't know if you've seen any French movies, Roger Ebert.
But, yeah, I was gonna say, like, that was pretty tame compared to, like, I know what French cinema does.
Yeah, that's... So, yeah, shocking to American audiences. I don't know what it was like internationally, but, again, I think that was kind of done intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after everybody hated Dune and he hated making Dune, I think he was just like, you know what? I'm just going to try to distance myself as much as I can from this studio system and just make this weird, controversial movie full of sexual assault and regular assault. Just kind of turn everybody off intentionally. Which is, yeah, I don't know. Maybe my theory about this is all wrong because then he went into syndicated TV.
And who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah, but he went into TV critiquing TV heavier than he probably critiqued other things.
Well, that's true.
That's he came with it like a very like cynical angle, it feels.
Yeah.
Which is weird because he makes one of the best TV shows of all time. But like the whole premise of it being kind of not satirical, but a little bit of a meta commentary. It's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Twin Peaks was largely made to be satire of daytime soap operas.
Exactly.
Which aren't,
in itself is a soap opera still. So it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's like genuine, but it's also not.
Yeah. There's moments where like that Angelo score is like so cheesy and overpowering. And it's like definitely meant to be that.
The whole James sequences.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about those. I wonder why that guy never worked with David Lynch again. Hmm. Didn't show up in Twin Peaks 3 either.
Yeah, he did. He sang it in season 3.
Wait, James did?
He sang the song, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
He must have blocked that out.
I must have.
I don't blame you.
I don't remember James in that at all.
Oh, yeah. He had some minutes on screen, that's for sure.
Wow.
But yeah, I agree. It is kind of like, I like the stereotypical like picket fence, like Americana dreamy opening. And then like this guy just has a stroke and you just have like beetles crawling around and making like super loud noises and just like showing like the dark underbelly of everything.
Yeah.
And like, it feels like he was like going after like, look at how sheltered we are in like America. And then like you look anywhere around the world or the things that we're doing to other people. And it's like this dark underbelly is always there and it will always pop up. So I don't know. There's a really nice play with all these different things and the whole like toxic masculinity aspect where it's like, you know, Jeffrey's like out of high school and he's like dating this senior in high school, but he's also like sneaking into this woman's apartment. And is like being really creepy about all of it.
Yeah.
And the whole like infecting thing. And it seems like everything is like playing off this like toxic masculinity angle. I don't know. You can go like a million different ways with this film and it kind of works in all of the different ways. And I think that's kind of like insanely good.
Yeah.
I like stuff like that. You got to find the balance of like being able to like interpret things your own way, but also like have enough structure where it's like not everything fits that mold. And it's not just like, it's not like right to just throw any theory out there at all. But I mean, certain things stick kind of well. So
that's true.
I don't know. It's very cool. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. 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 It would be interesting maybe in one of these future features to do one of David Lynch's more surreal, less structured things.
I'd eat that stuff up.
Because yeah, you've done, well, I don't know. I always say, well, that straight story doesn't count because it's really its own thing, but that's like the most structured thing. But then, yeah, it's Twin Peaks and probably this. Mulholland Drive was like that for like the first half and then it goes off the rails. But I've heard good things about Lost Highway. We might do that one. Or maybe Inland Empire, which was his last movie until Twin Peaks 3, or I guess his last visual thing, period, until Twin Peaks 3. But that one might be, I don't know if I would be, I don't know if I would like that one. Because I think that one's famous for, that one was one that he was shooting and writing at the same time. And I think it might have been like he was retired and he came out of retirement because he was... he bought like a digital camera, like a little camcorder, and he was just like recording shorts with it. And then he just kind of like mashed them all together and made it one movie. So at times it can be kind of hard to watch because you're watching an early 2000s camcorder footage, which like all of his other movies are shot on film. So I don't know.
I feel like I enjoy collage a lot just in general. So it would be interesting. I don't know. I've sat through like Twin Peaks season 3 two or three times, and that gets pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
So I definitely gravitate towards that stuff of his more, even though Blue Velvet is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be interesting to kind of compare David Lynch's two sides.
Yeah.
Which is something, another running motif of his is dual identities, which I noticed there was like a couple in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Isabella Rossellini. I'm sorry, I don't know anybody's character names. I just know they're actors. But, you know, on the surface, Isabella Rossellini is this like suave, sultry, like jazz singer. But behind the scenes, she's been physically and sexually abused so much that she doesn't really know how to experience love without abuse. And even like Dennis Hopper, who's the bad guy. Yeah, he's like
the, Frank.
Frank, that sounds right.
I think it's Frank. Yeah.
But that one was a little bit harder to say like a dual identity because he's kind of one dimensional. But like, I would say that there's like Frank before he has like this oxygen mask thing, and then like that kind of like reveals his true self is whenever he starts huffing something. They never really say what that is. I've never seen anybody do that before. But yeah, I don't know. Just noticing a lot of David Lynch stuff going on, which is weird because I'm not the biggest fan of his, but yeah, good movie, Blue Velvet. Check it out.
Very good. Yeah. I don't know if I can rank things for him yet. I don't have enough under my belt, and I'm very biased towards the entire Twin Peaks series, so
yeah,
I don't think I'm gonna even try to rank Blue Velvet anywhere near that, but I think they're both very good in their own way.
yeah, I mean, I think I like Twin Peaks a little bit more than Blue Velvet. It feels like Twin Peaks is doing everything that Blue Velvet was doing, just a little bit better. Like
expanded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, some of that is he has more time with Twin Peaks, certainly in the last season, where it was just like, hey, we're going to give you 18 hours of stuff. Just make it.
Yeah. I feel like there's more charm in Twin Peaks, too. Like, yeah. I feel like the highs are higher. Like, it's a very, you get the contrast of it, like, immediately. I think Blue Velvet was, like, more in the noir area where it's not, like, too cheery.
No, it's pretty.
Especially since it's just Kyle MacLachlan like driving a big Pontiac with a high school senior in the passenger seat. That doesn't strike me as like the romantic, cheery side that I think he was going for.
I don't
to, like,
know.
Contrast the rest of it, but I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah. Interesting movie. I don't know what we're going to do next for features. I have a couple ideas, but we'll see. I do like mixing it up.
Ideas,
so. Okay.
I do like mixing it up too. Yeah.
The having not just movies or not just games, doing all sorts of different things, just stuff that we really like or that we
or
want
don't.
To, or don't and just want to have a spend a decent amount of time on. So yeah, I think Blue Velvet was a pretty good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking maybe doing Come and See at some point because that is like the Letterboxd bro movie, and I know you're interested in doing some Soviet era film, and that is one.
Absolutely.
So maybe the trick would just be tracking down a copy of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess if you guys have any comments.
Sopranos eventually.
Sopranos. Probably. Yeah.
I just need to finish that thing.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I think I'm about halfway through season 4. Very good show. Very different than everything we've talked about so far. Because I feel like we've been talking about a lot of serious stuff. I don't know.
We have, yeah. We can switch it up eventually.
I don't know if we want to keep it like this. But that makes it kind of hard to talk about. It's like, let's talk about how sexual abuse can change people. It's like, I'm not qualified to have that discussion, I think. So yeah, I don't know. But I like Blue Velvet quite a bit. If you guys have not seen it, I would recommend it. It was on Tubi. That's how I watched it. But it's on a bunch of stuff.
You watched it on Amazon Prime, I think.
Oh, okay.
It was like you had to rent it, but it was free to rent, which was weird.
Okay, well, do that. I was a little worried doing it on Tubi because sometimes Tubi doesn't have the HD versions.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, I don't know. But it was HD. It looked good. There was just ads, which is unfortunate, but c'est la vie.
Love getting ads during my David Lynch film.
They were put in good spaces, though. Sometimes it's That's like right good. In the middle of the scene. but yeah, I don't know how we end these.
Did you watch Blue Velvet? You should.
You should.
Otherwise, I don't know why you're watching this.
We didn't really go into spoilers, but.
No, not too much. I mean, it's kind of hard to spoil a David Lynch thing, too, if you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, the story is usually the least important part.
Yeah, it's everything else that's more important. Like, yeah. You could spoil Twin Peaks for someone and they could still watch it and enjoy it, like, a ton.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't. I don't want to talk about that Twin Peaks. but okay. Yeah. Bye.